Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively, Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health.
You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance.
God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning.
While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed.
You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear.
I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying,
what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. And it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard of Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the leader, he saw commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was about 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome by amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Last week, the church heard about Jesus exercising divine authority over nature, over land and sea. Mark's Gospel has a way of telescoping stories together. And today, the story of the woman with a discharge interrupts the story of a young girl dying. In the first century, unfortunately, neither of those experiences was unusual. In fact, according to Molina and Rohrbach, some 60% of people who were born died by their mid-teens. According to the Jewish annotated New Testament, that the Levitical codes address different forms of genital discharge, whether menstruation or otherwise, and then there are different responses accordingly. And what the editors point out is that, well, either one, all of it brought some form of ritual impurity. The question is, in their minds, whether such impurity would mean expulsion from the ritual community in a village setting far from the temple. In each case, though, both for the young girl and for the woman, the encounter with Jesus means saving and thriving, healing and living. Or as the editors of the Jewish Annotated New Testament put it, it is often assumed that this miracle depicts Jesus' rejection of the Jewish purity codes, which themselves are seen as particularly onerous for women. But it is more likely that the contrast is between sickness and healing based on faith. The kingdom of God is a place, is a time of liberation from impurity, not from purity codes. Again, the point is that in and through Jesus, the reign of God is announced and embodied. In the reign of God, there is healing and life, saving and thriving. This is good news for all people. At the same time, this is particular good news for those who are being crushed by the world around them. Whether the crushing blow is from debilitating illness, strangling anxiety, violent prejudice, or any other reality that sucks the life out of individuals and whole peoples. To be sure, now is a time when the people of the world need this good news. It is true individually and as nations and as cultures. It is true across so many different dimensions. My guess is that the weariness and malaise of this time presses in one way or another on each one of us. Take a moment. How do you need Jesus to bring healing in your life? From what do you need to be saved? What would it mean to thrive right now? How do you yearn to live in light of Christ's presence? Today, this congregation gathers, and as we gather, we do so around the font where Ensley will be baptized. The church will pray big prayers about God's activity. So I'm going to invite you to listen ahead to the prayer that we will pray in just a little bit. We pray, in the beginning, your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea, you led your people, Israel, from slavery to freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit by the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection. You set us free from the power of sin and death, and raise us up to live in you. Creation, deliverance, being led from bondage to freedom, baptism, indeed, freedom. These are the blessings of living in the reign of God. Let us each commit ourselves to ponder anew daily the ways of God's love embodied in Jesus Christ, present for each one of us. Let us seek to be Christ for our neighbor in ways that bring saving and thriving, healing and living for all people.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.